Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Okay, guys, how are you all out there? Hope you're all keeping safe as best you can and isolating as best you can as well. I know it's difficult times. I was just thinking, you're welcome, obviously, back to the Irish Examiner's podcast. We won't call it a National League one, or we won't call it anything other kind of a one at the moment, because we really don't know where we stand. It's hard to believe on the 9th of March when we did what was one of my favourite ones with Mark Landers. Hopefully we'll have Mark one of the days again. But we had Fergal Horgan and we had Conor Lane in, and we had great debate, and we learned so much, I think, about how the referees operate and the way they operate, and it was one of my more enjoyable ones, I have to say, driving home. I was saying that was interesting, and I think people found it interesting. So today we're just kind of thinking about things, and I suppose wondering about things. So we're joined by Kieran Shannon, who's probably only in the road for me in Ballyhea, but might as well be a mile away. John Fogarty, where are you, John?
Dublin.
Oh my God, yeah, you're not even in Tip.
No, they wouldn't be allowed
wouldn't
there.
Let you isolate in Tip. I wouldn't be allowed there at the moment. So it's great. And Larry is at home in Tip. Are you, Larry? Home in Cork?
No, I'm in Cork.
Yeah, we're all over the country, so yeah, we have a good mix that way. Anyway, you know. So lads, I suppose, we'll try and keep this going once a week, and maybe we shorten it. We usually are in around the hour and getting good at the hour as well, getting very good at the time. And so I suppose we'd shoot the breeze on a few things. We put it up on Twitter and we got some fantastic responses and some fantastic questions. And I think we'll save some of them and we'll have a look at a couple of them today. But overall, I suppose, first of all, people are wondering out there in GA land, and I suppose we'll keep it maybe hurling specific, I suppose, since it's kind of my side of things. If we'd Mike on the other line now as well, we could make it to an hour and let him take up the football for the other half an hour, because I know the two of you are well able to do that as well. I'd probably be only I wouldn't be a Clondigad stalwart like you, Kieran. So look, I'm just wondering, lads, you know, the championship, if we're going to have a championship even, you know, I was interested to look at Gerlach Nan's column earlier in the week where he said it's probably fanciful to even think, you know, we all have heard like about the that we are, you know, halting the curve and stalling things. But like he said, it's fanciful probably to expect 30,000 to 40,000 people to be in Thurles in July and we not having a vaccine for this virus, you know. So, you know, I wonder, are we being just overly optimistic thinking we will have championship this year?
Well, about the only guy who's making sense at those White House press conferences is your man, Dr. Tony Fauci, and he made the point that, look, you don't set the deadline, the virus sets the deadline, and look, we're doing a better job over at the moment, as you alluded to there, of flattening the curve, etc. But, you know, this, you mentioned the height of the summer there, Anthony, like we don't know when this will be, but so John is on to the powers that be in Croke Park more so than I would be. But you know, you have to think that they have contingencies, they have plan A's, plan B's, plan C's, plan D's. Plan E is, let's say, no championship, like Ger alluded to. But let's say if you had it, let's say if it was September, like wouldn't it be better to have a championship of some descript? And what, like, I just think there would be such a, there would just be such an interest in it. And it would obviously be a different format to what we've had. But what a carnival of celebration of life as much as the game, and to meet each other. If it was actually okay to do it, it would be fantastic to have it. So, like, you would be hoping that there would be, but I mean, yeah, it's not going to be, let's just say we're not going to have which has been such a joy in our lives the last two summers, which has been, you know, hurling week in, week out throughout May and June here in Munster in particular.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, Kieran's right about that. I think as much as the GAA are trying to keep their powder dry, I say there's all sorts of contingency plans, Stalo. As I said, plan E is probably what Kieran is mentioning. What are the priorities is the big question for them at the moment. And I think county championships are a priority. We're going to have county championships this year. There's no denying that. People will need that. People will demand that. In terms of provincial club championships and All-Ireland club championships, unless they move till, you know, the start of 2021, we might not see them this year. After that, then, as far as I'm concerned, it's the inter-county championship. What way you want it? Obviously, the provinces will want to, Fergal McGill was talking last week about the possibility of the old championship that we knew a couple of years ago before the round robin, which was, you know, you lose your provincial game and you go into the qualifiers. That could be run off pretty quickly. I would imagine that is what they're looking at seriously at the moment, because after that, then it's a case of back to your time, Dalo. And, you know, it's all on the day. But all on the day will attract huge amount of interest. But at the same time, as what Ger Lachnan was making the point in his column, you know, 30,000-40,000 people, I don't think we're going to be able to see that. I think we're going to see attendance as being capped in some shape or form, Dalo. Obviously, there will be a huge draw for these games. I'd say almost everything will probably be put on TV. There'll have to be renegotiations of TV deals and things like that. But there's just far too much interest. You'll probably get messages, I know I am, every day from supporters. What's going to happen? What about this? What about that? We have to be very careful. I was saying it to Kieran before we came on air here, that we have to be so careful about people's hopes, and people need something to look forward to at the moment. And that, you know, so what if we're being a little bit aspirational? Maybe we are, but as far as I'm concerned, there's going to be a championship, and I think people will need a championship when we come through this.
Yeah, and I think he also mentioned, you know, and I suppose I take a lot of the limited wisdom I have from that man and whatever he taught me over the years. But he said it might be a glimpse to the future as well, and maybe a resetting of our values and come back that maybe the club is more valuable, and we need to look at the way that the GAA community have rallied round and are helping, you know, more vulnerable people in society. And that might also lead to a revaluation of that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think, like as you said, we're not going to get too much into the how the football championship works. But you know, there at the moment, it was due to be at, is it special congress? Was that meant to be this year, John? A special congress about the championship format for football and about national leagues, etc. Like because that whole club inter-county imbalance, you know, that particularly the CPA have been pushing for the last while, we haven't, that debate hasn't really got going and meaningfully. And I think in this time that we have, I think it would be no harm over the next couple of months if those proposals were put forward. They'd obviously have ramifications for hurling, because you said, Anthony, like, I mean, look, I think the inter-county game can sometimes be wrongly accused as being nearly a force of evil, when it's a joy. And it obviously, I interviewed Paul Flynn before Christmas as the GPA chief executive. He was saying like that both are symbiotic. But as you said, like at this moment in time, when the power of the GAA and essentially the power of the club, and how, like, even here in the aforementioned Clondegad, how the club has organized rotas for, in terms of food deliveries, helping the vulnerable, the elderly, like that club is this community. And as you said, going back to a reevaluation, like that does need to be put back central for sure. But I do think, and we're going to get to it maybe, about what formats the championship or that going forward could be, the inter-county game is not the enemy here either. And I just think there might be need to be a recalibration. But the notion of, there might be that, Anthony, but I think that at the same time, the inter-county game is also the thing that sustains us. You know, like when I was growing up in Cork, and, you know, and then been, let's say, covering yourselves back in the late 90s. I mean, what sustained me on a December was, Jesus, what's it going to be like on June the 5th down in the park when Clare and Tip go at it? Or it's the inter-county games that keep sustain us. The people who are calling John, you know, they want to see their own club. They want to be back. The biggest thing I want to be back is down in the local club field on a Tuesday and Thursday night, you know, seeing my young fella and helping out them and the daughter at the Camogie. Like, that's what you really miss at this time. So it's both. We miss both.
I was only saying it last night there that, Jesus, I'm involved in our under-21s in Clarecastle, you know, and like, I tell you, there was nights there in early December driving over the 23 or 4 miles and it pelting rain, freezing, and I saying, oh, Jesus, how did I let myself get involved in this? Like, and I could have done with a year out maybe and not long finished with Kilmacud, I suppose, in some ways, but by Jesus, if there was only a training session tonight, I'd be over there 2 hours before it, setting it up and driving into it. But John, would it be so bad, like, if we had to go back to not even a back door, straight knockout, and as Kieran said there, you know, like, let's say 5th of August, you know, Clare Tip in Cork, winner takes all, have to make the long walk back up to the Imperial Hotel if you're baiting. Tip lads roaring out the window of the car, and now they're making you walk home. That was a famous story, I think, from 2000. Myself and Brian Lohan were walking back up along. We said we'd walk because the bus was going nowhere. And this Tip flag, I'd say, lads from Holy Cross now or somewhere, you know, 5 of them in the car, like, and you could hardly see out the windows with Tip flags draped everywhere. And your man let down the driver's window and he said, now they're making you walk home. I said, keep going, boss. I'll give you that one now, but just keep going. I said, I'm not in form for it. You know, there was a certain magic to that as well, as much and all as I've been one of the big exponents, I suppose, of the new system over the last 2 years and how much we've enjoyed it, you know. But I mean, I was a victim, because I was the same for both of us, but the very last year before the back door came in, we were all Ireland champions and of course into Limerick. And I often said it was the most memorable day I ever hurled because of the whole tension, the whole atmosphere. You could feel it, like it was dripping out of the crowd because everybody knew the rivalry between ourselves and Limerick at the time. They had failed in 94. We had got there in 95. They were coming back to do us in 96. And you could feel it driving in the bus, the tension, the winner take all. And yet, John, we lost and we had to go back. And we wound up in the county final with Johnny Callanan as our manager and beaten by a great Wolf Tones team for their first ever championship. And they went on to go to the All-Ireland Club final. And I still had a very enjoyable year's hurling. Like, would it be so bad if that... I know the time scale is the problem. Would it be so bad for 1 year to go back to it?
No, not at all. Nothing is as bad as no championship, Dalo. Nothing is as bad. I think you just, you know, the massive, you know, I think you just want people to appreciate what the championship was in your time. You'd love to see some of these guys feeling the pain that you felt. That's what I feel. That's what I'm getting from you there. But you're absolutely right. It would be magical. It would be huge in so many ways. It would be a celebration, what Kieran mentioned there. It would just be... It would be monumental. It would be such a release for people. Obviously, we have to look at the Munster Championship as it is now. And Clare might think, Jesus, if it goes knockout, we've a handy, you know, we've a bye in the first round as they do this year. They're not playing on the 10th of May, or as it was the case.
Would it not have to be redrawn?
It would, Dillo. Yeah, it would have to be redrawn. So Clare is more now, but what you probably won't see games in Walsh Park and the likes of Cusack Park. That's the one downside of it. But again, beggars can't be choosers if that's the case, you know. But I was just thinking about it there. You know, it will change one thing. The last couple of years, we've always said the best squads have been winning matches. Now, you look at Tipperary in the Munster Championship last year, and they used a lot of the same people, and maybe that caught them out a little bit in the Munster final. But we probably all, to a man, would argue that Limerick have the strongest squad at the moment. But if it goes knockout, or even if it goes knockout qualifier, we're not talking about squads anymore. We're talking about the best 15 players, 16, 17 players. We're not talking a 20-man game anymore or a 23-man game.
The time frame, by virtue of going to knockout, straight knockout, would be because it's on a very restricted timeline, right? So a Limerick might have, go with their best 15 and they're not staggering it like the way maybe is what cost Tip in 2018 in the first game down in Limerick, where they were looking to games 2 and 3 and rotating the squad. But you might pick up it, you know, let's say they are in the first round and they beat a Tip. But then you have Cork or Waterford waiting the next week. You're down 2. You might need that squad, because to win the All-Ireland, you might have to win 5 games.
The only thing is, you're not training during those times. You know, if it is game after game after game, you know, I think it is, you're looking at your best. You're putting out your best guys. But it's a fair point, Kieran. Sorry for interrupting.
No, but it is, as a one-off, it would have a huge novelty to it. I suppose that's probably the plan C, I suppose. One thing, just before I go back, is that historically, like, because I remember the day just before the shut game came down, as in 2 days before it, and you realise this is getting serious and that there might be a championship. I was finishing the column I called Mick Foley from the Sunday Times, who had written the book The Bloody Field, and we were just speculating about what way the championship could be, and I suggested the idea of it being straight knockout. But one of the things that he reminded me of, which was, like, historically, the GA have had championships. So, in other words, let's say the 1920 championship, or let's say he wrote that book, The Bloody Field, is 100 years. Tip were obviously involved in Bloody Sunday, the Tip footballers. They actually won the 1920 championship, but it was in 1922, you know? Like, I mean, like, historically, like Lucknan, going back to what Lucknan's saying, he might be right, as in there is no championship in 2020, but we might have a case where the 2020 championship is next spring. We might have 2 championships next year.
Just the year, the original foot and mouth, was it 41?
Yeah.
Cork and Dublin contested the All-Ireland final, but in actual fact, because Munster wasn't finished, right, Tip wound up the end of the year as Munster champions.
That was my intro to that piece. I remember being at the 84 Munster final, and one of my father's friends, like, I was 12 at the time, and them said, did you ever hear about, because this was pre-backdoor, and you know it was, did you ever hear the one about how Cork won an All-Ireland without winning Munster?
Yeah.
You're going, what? You couldn't get your head around it. And like, they were off that vintage where they could remember the 41. And, you know, our children are going to be, do you hear about what happened in 2020? But like, we might, that's possibly yeah, one of the alternatives, is we might just have it. We were speculating about the merits or not, non-merits for us, about the Eamon Sweeney argument that if there's whatever hurling or football there is this year, might be just time for club alone. We might actually, that's maybe the way we might have to go, but we might have it all in, we might have 2 championships in 2021, because I don't know if we, and I think a lot of people are like Tomás, and I wrote it as well last week, like, look, you at this point, you've been early, like, it is so secondary, etc. But but there is an institutional memory, and it seems to be an institutional obligation to JA Field, which is, we will have a championship every year, just maybe not in the given year. Now, it's a long time since we had to do it. I think it was 1925 or 26. But that has been the way, that there is a 2020 All-Ireland winner. It just might be 2021. That's another one.
Isn't that the one? Isn't that the thing that John Doyle has over Christy Ring, that he has one more Munster title? Yeah, he's Jesus.
And one of the things, Anthony, as a manager yourself, right? And again, right, and it's, you know, like, you can put this hat on, right? There's what squads are doing right now and that, but let's just say it was come about, and you know, there's a hint by the late summer that this was happening. What would you like? Would you like, because let's say on the speculation in other sports, like, I'm a big NBA fan, and they're talking about, right, we're going to have to fast track, obviously, the playoffs. But they were saying, they're talking about, look, you'd need, instead of, I think there were 17, 18 regular season games still due to for it to be played. And they said, look, you're not going to play all 17 regular season games, but you might need 4 or 5 to have a lead in time, right? Like, let's say you were over Clare. There is a redraw, as John said. And Clare are against Cork, the first round. Like, is it just what you organize 2 challenge games and away you go? You need 3 weeks and away you go. What way would be fair? You have to have certain competition integrity.
You'd be looking for a month, I would say. You know, because you have no contact with these guys, they're through WhatsApps, their phone calls. What are you doing? Post up your runs there, post up a bit of your wall work and stuff like that, you know. I know even with the 21s, we're trying to encourage them, and we're running a little competition, go to the wall, and how many reps can you get in a minute, and this kind of thing. And we've promised £50 to the winner. I tell you, it doesn't be long getting 20-year-olds motivated, even though they haven't too many places to spend it at the moment. But that's the sort of, you know, that's all you can do at the moment. So I'd say at that level, I was asked about this as well, Kieran, somewhere else, and I'd said there would be a huge advantage, I think, to the established managements. So I'm talking Limerick, I'm talking Tip, talking probably Cody, Davy Fitz, going into year five, is he Fitzy? Four or five? Mm-hmm. You know, I think like for Brian Lowe and Liam Cahill, Shane O'Neill, maybe not so much Kieran Kingston because he was there before and is very familiar with them all. But I think it'd be very tough on them, you know, because they were making real progress. Like Lohan had topped his group. Liam had come second in his group, I think, in the league. And all of a sudden then those guys, you know, they don't know. And I also made the point that I think Limerick's week of warm weather training and Tip's weeks of warm weather training would be a huge advantage, because I know the value of those, like that they're 3.5 to maybe 4 weeks work, because the amount of work you can do tactically.
But if we're into August, is that advantage or like that's still, do you think that still translates come August, let's say?
I do, because I think at this stage, so much of it would have been videoed and kept and could be rehashed and game plans that they had decided on, because they'd be coming near the end of the league and facing quickly into championship, as we felt on the 10th of May, that stuff would be in the locker at least, you know. And, you know, also because those teams are very used to playing a certain type of game. Think of Brian Lowe and think of Liam Cahill, let's say, think of Shane O'Neill. They're trying to introduce new stuff. And especially I know in Clare, and you'd know, you have a fair idea that there's probably a little feeling that there's a more direct approach from Clare. I think the stats would have backed that up in the league game.
That's where I do think maybe if it came to it and it's a tight window, that you do have a some form of backdoor. You know, the notion, you said Lohan's had this league, and then first round they play Limerick and they lose by a point to possibly the eventual All-Ireland champions. That's it, gone. I know there's a certain, there'll be 40,000 if you can have 40,000 according to health guidelines or public health guidelines or whatever, but I just think that's extremely cruel. Whereas, you know what I think is a good old county championship is the format in Clare. You know, where there's a front door, back door. Every game has a meaning. Like, okay, you can afford one slip up, but like how much, as you said, like a Cahill or a Lohan would take from one game, win or lose. You know, but that's
where they'd have an awful lot of slack, Doc, Kieran, you know, in terms of the year. And
but I just think some, for the competition integrity, as much as some kind of competition is better than no competition, right, we've agreed, I just think that for the competition integrity in itself, like I do feel that some form of lead-in time and what you there'll be, teams will have maybe a challenge game or two, there'll be the odd in-house game, but nothing like itself a game. And I think that's where, now you might have to forsake, I was thinking there just before you joined us there, we were talking about, you know, like the current format we've had in Munster where, you know, you have four or five games. Like, is there a case for, if there's 7 or 8 weeks, you could still have, if you had a game every second, or you're going to have a game nearly every weekend over a 6-7 week period, is there a case for every team having four games and you just have the top two make All-Ireland semi-finals and finals? You might have to give up your Munster final. At the moment, we've had the Munster final at the moment holds up the hurling championship calendar by a month, because you need a 2 week lead into a Munster final, and then there's the quarterfinals have to be played off. So valuable couple of weeks either side of that are held up because we protect the provincial finals. We may have to disband that, but I just think that there is a case, as much as there's a huge thing to the novelty of a throwback of the old do or die, that notion of lead in time and a bit of competition integrity. And to be fair, that do you have at least a backdoor of one game where each team is guaranteed two games?
Yeah. It's ghastly just looking back at that 96 one, you know, beaten by Limerick. And Clare was knockout at the time, and there was no backdoor as we currently. And I actually agree with you. I love the Clare system at the moment. I think it's very fair, and you have a great chance of getting back into it. And even if you do lose your second match, relegation is a real threat, as we know in Kirkcastle for the last few years. And would have trained every bit as hard to make sure we didn't go down, you know. And we were in three relegation finals, I think, you know. So I managed to come out of them somehow. And you know, it is a great system. I still think, though, that for the year that's in it, knockout might just be the way. And even if, as you said, if we could get that month's lead-in time, we still have our league quarterfinals and league semi-finals decided, really. Maybe they might be possibly played, even if it's midweek. And one of the things I would have thought was Croke Park, and we would have seen this with the club finals over the years. It's kind of the one place in the country now, unless the weather is totally diabolical. But if we've seen it with the club finals, even on a bad day in Croke Park, the surface is so good, it's so enclosed, maybe to the wind, except a swirling wind, that's the one place that would have to be opened up and used even more, even maybe midweek. Do you know that even on a Wednesday night, there might be a Wexford Kilkenny Croke Park double header with Dublin and Laois?
I've written this before, and I know that you retweeted it or whatever, or at least gave it a like, which was, there's such a, and thank God there are games now, the current format has been fantastic for hurling. And obviously then, you know, you have football as well, that you know, we do have to look at games on a Friday night or midweek, you know, for television purposes, at least for the promotion of the game. Now, I was making the point that you would need to give, if you gave players enough notice that they'd have to take off work, etc. But I think under the current circumstances, if at all possible, it would be fantastic to have that. And that would be one thing that we would hope to keep. I do think we have to look at the odd at having some of our games in midweek. We were talking about Joe McDonagh games maybe being midweek before for it to be properly promoted, because it's so competitive at the weekends with the Sam Maguire and Liam McCarthy stages. But for sure. And you know, you could have it. But Anthony, like, did you find in those years, like, it was one of the things you were asked there, like, that was it better for the clubs back in those days? Or were there years where you went back to, like, you take the early 90s, well, Clare Castle still had good teams, but was there years where you were beaten, let's say,
we good teams up to the mid 2000s?
No, but did you might have had a tough draw? You might have had an equivalent of a
league.
Like, because sometimes we can romanticise, I think, too, that, it was great. But like, I interviewed Kevin Donovan before, he was the Cork secretary a couple of years ago, and he made the point that we can romanticise how it was for the club hurler back in the day, because he said I played junior football and we were gone by every May. You know, like, I mean, this notion that, we went back to the club and played all through July and August. Maybe you were in Clare Castle, but I'd say I don't know how it was going here in Ballyhane.
I tell you, like, but Ballyhane wouldn't have been hardly back up senior around then, now, when I'm talking, you know, 90, 91 on, we'll say. I would have played in my first final. I was a sub in 87, and we won 86, 87, 91, 94, 97, you know, so we had a chance every year, we'll say, for maybe a 10, 12-year period. But I always say to the boys, like, and invariably, of course, until we made the breakthrough with Clare, now we did get to the Munster Finals in 93 and 94. But in the early days of my Clare career, we'll say from 89 on, I used to say to the boys, like, it was knockout in Clare. I used to say, lads, but Jesus, we'll go all out for this, or we'll really enjoy the summer. And that meant savage weekends in Lahinch and Kilkee and taking off the music festivals and hitting Doolin maybe of a Friday evening and totally forgetting about hurling except looking
maybe
at
it. Maybe with the odd seven-a-side thrown in the tournament. Like, because I think Tommy Walsh referred to that, and I remember just even in a previous lifetime doing Justin's book, and he would actually talk about how you used to have more festivals and tournaments where it was a bit more sociable. You were still hurling, just not in a structured county championship. Like, did you still hurl along with
and we would enter the Kilmacud sevens, Kieran, and if we were still in the championship, like, and we might be in the semi-final maybe coming up to the first weekend in September, but we mightn't be out for 3 weeks, and there'd be a big debate, would we chance playing the Kilmacud Sevens? And we'd go up, and we were beaten in a couple of finals in it. But by God, there was other years we went up. And I remember working in the bank in Dublin, Fado, one of those years, and Clare having been beaten. And I would normally come home every Friday night, but the club were gone, and we had entered the Croke Sevens, and our first round match, the draw was made, we got it out. I don't even think it was email at the time, but we got, maybe someone rang someone, and we were playing Rat Downey in the first round. And of course, I was living in Dublin for a few months and made my way down to Glenalbin, and was standing there with my Clarecastle togs and socks and a Tin Owl t-shirt on me, waiting for the boys, and of course no mobiles. And of course, on the Friday night, a few of the lads had said, we might go for 1 or 2 pints, but we're on the road now at 7 o'clock in the morning, lads. Like, you know, 1 or 2 pints wound up in the Queen's Hotel anyway, as they do. And I begged referees and Kilmacud officials, little did I think that I'd know them much better later in life, I begged them to give us another 10-15 minutes. And all of a sudden, these 3 or 4 cars sped in the gates anyway in Stillorgan, and they got togged as quickly as possible. There was a few jerseys thrown out, and I remember the great Stephen Sheedy, lining out in midfield with a can of Coke. He's Hurley in his midriff holding it up, a can of Coke and a bacon sandwich as ball was being thrown in. And I hadn't even gone out in Dublin, which would have been very, very attractive back in those days. And we were a disgrace, to be honest. I think we gave a walk over to Mullinahone because it would have been something like 40 goals, I'd say, in the 20 minutes is all it was at the time. And we used to go up. And did we enjoy the Saturday evenings starting off in the Stillorgan Inn, I suppose, straight out of the group? But no, we weren't fit, we weren't ready, and had to face back into Mike Mack. But as I say, like that 96, you know, 96, I remember, of course, as you did, beaten, gone. So you went off and met the boys, met up on the Monday, as we did, and probably led into Tuesday, and woke up, as they'd say in Dublin, as I said in my article last week, in a jocker on the Wednesday, to get a phone call from Johnny Callan, the aforementioned Johnny Callan, who was our manager, to say, Dalo, would you go to Riverdance at the weekend on Friday night? Sil Adley was a great Clare supporter right through our times, and so appreciated 95, never thought he'd see it, I suppose. And it's still Hale and Harty and with us, thank God. And Sil was a very successful businessman and based in Killaloe, and it meant so much to him, 95. And he said, Sil would like to bring yourself and Eilish and maybe Sparrow and Helen to Riverdance Friday night. Oh, Jesus, Gal, I says, I couldn't go up at Riverdance Friday night. No, how long would that go on for? An hour and a half? I says, Jesus, I won't be right for training next Tuesday night. All right. He said, he's actually wants to bring you to Riverdance in Fulham Broadway. Fly you over on Friday evening. Fly you over on Sunday. And it was in the middle of, I think, the Euros was on in London at the time. Yes. And we might have the possibility. I think it was Gaza's Euro, was it? The one he flicked over. And my brother was still alive in London at the time. And I said, oh, Jesus, that's a different ball game, Cal. I ring the missus and see if she's still talking to me. Now, we're only going out together, of course, at the time. I ring Sparrow there while I'm making that call. I said, we hit it off and had what a weekend on. I tell you, the longest hour and a half of the weekend
was Riverdance. Like, just took that era, and that's when I was... I mean, that's how I went to games. And then when I started in the Examiner, you know, you were covering, I often remember covering, working at, when you beat Cork in 95, that famous game down in Limerick, you know, where it all turned. But how you would see people's summers just gone in 70 minutes, you know, like, I think there's a great novelty to it this time. I saw Des Cahill tweet that, well, maybe we go back to it all this way. I don't think so. But for a one-off, it could be glorious.
It could be glorious. It could be. And look, I don't know. I often, you know, to guess, people say, what was the best day of all time? And like for us, we would always say the Munster final in 95, you know, because that was the one. We weren't losing all Ireland's. That was the one we couldn't get over. But the most memorable day I ever hurled was certainly that day, going into Limerick, and I've been overquoted on this, I suppose, at this stage, that look now. And we used to go past Ivan's and the pub there, the Great Davin Arms on the left. How it's an Aldi or a Lidl now, I'll never know, because I always thought that place was an absolute gold mine. But we couldn't see the tarmac at them on the road with people, you know, and obviously the guards had to try and free the bus to go up along. But look, Nan famously catching the microphone in front of the old Glenn's coach and saying, look out, lads, don't be afraid to look out. He says, this is what your father and your grandfather told you about. This is the Munster Championship. And by Jesus, like, I had a fine head of hair back then, Kieran, I tell you. Any hairs on the back of your neck were standing, like, and you either embraced it and or you shit yourself. And I think we all embraced it. And we lost to a great Limerick team, you know, who possibly could have won two All-Irelands, and we could have lost the two All-Irelands, you know. That was just the look of the very tightness of it all, you know, at the time. And I think, yeah, you're right, for one glorious maybe autumn, I think if we went for it and had it, I think, you know, I'd love if there was a back door. I'd be fearful that wouldn't be the case. Maybe not even All-Ireland semi-finals and still have a Munster final and a Leinster final, you know, and the winners, with Galway now in Leinster, that the winners would go straight to an All-Ireland final, you know, that we'd skip the semi-finals one year. That might be a possibility.
Wow.
You know, and you'd still have Munster champions and Leinster champions. Ah, sure, look at, we've so much time in our hands these days, walking around the 2 kilometres and back again and over again and back again. Fiddling around with everything. And look at, lads, I suppose we're coming up to nearly 40 minutes now, and we got so many brilliant questions in from people, you know, lots of mates of mine. I know Colin Higgins had a few questions there. So had Mike Flynn in Limerick. So had Vinny Sheedy. I think there was great ones from Aidan O'Sullivan there in the Piercig. Patrick Connolly had a great one about maybe how we might think about it for next week. How maybe some of the Joe McDonagh counties, can they make that step up? How can they make that step up? I think Aidan had another great one as well about when and can the Dubs win an All-Ireland in hurling. And I would have been maybe close to maybe hopefully achieving that in my time. And that was one of the things I was going to talk about today. And of course, we so totally got sidetracked with what everyone is so interested in the moment. And as John said before, he had to go, like, just like to give people that bit of hope and, you know, something to look forward to. I think it's massive. I was also going to throw in the quick caveat one about which press boxes do the best grub. I think we'll hold that as well, because the new Páirc Uí Chaoimh are really putting their hand up on that front, I think, with the little hot food and that stuff. I'd just like to answer one, Larry, that came up there from a guy called Ronan Gilson, and I don't know him. He seems to be based in Kerry. I would have thought it was a great meat name, but he asked who caused the row 29 years ago in an under-21 final between Clarecastle and Wolf Tones. And I'm going to say, Ronan, I don't know who caused the row, but I know myself and Pat O'Rourke from Wolf Tones, my great pal, were the two that got sent off at the end of it. And it was a brilliant drawn game. And the punishment, by God, when you think about lads, things that were done mad back in the day, and some lads on that, both of those teams never hurled really afterwards. Might have played a small bit of intermediate or that, or junior, but some of them didn't go on to make senior club. But the punishment was, because I was fullback for the Clare 21s and Paddy O'Rourke was the centre-back for the Clare 21s outside me. And the punishment was, instead of the automatic 2 weeks, right, and it was a riot nearly of a row, it was the only time I was ever sent off in a game. I've a couple of controversial incidents, all right, later in life. But the only time I was ever sent off, and they decided the punishment was, I think, because it would have had to been a month, definitely, of the suspension because of the magnitude of the row. And the match was finished, actually, now, and they wound up a draw. But they decided in their wisdom, because the Clare 21s were that powerful, with the management being of Seamus Durek, Gerlach Nan, Johnny Callanan, all these guys were the management, and we had big ambitions to try and win it in that year or the following year with good teams on paper anyway, that myself and Pat would just serve the 2 weeks. So we'd be back to play against Waterford on the Wednesday night fortnight, and there would be no replay of the under-21 championship. And if you look at the roll of honour now, if you go to the under-21 final, if it gets to be played this year, you'll see 1990, no final. And by God, Ronan, was there a final? I don't know how you heard about it. Were you there? Were you living in Clare? I don't know. But that's the answer. Who caused the row? It was either me or Pat O'Rourke, anyway. It was the 8th World under-21 final in a row. And my last year, under 21, Pat had one more year to go, and we had lost the previous two, and I was beginning to get frustrated, I will admit. So maybe I'll take the blame there, Ronan, if you really need to know. But that's one question I just wanted to get out of the way. And we don't want those sort of questions anymore, even though we'll knock a bit of crack out of them if they come up. But there's great questions there about who would you like to hit the last free to win county final or an All-Ireland final at the moment. As I said, about the Dubs, about the weaker counties, your most memorable club game scene or playing in. And there's fantastic stuff there, lads. And as Larry will put up this podcast today, I think we would ask you to throw more questions out there, because we just don't know how long this is going to last. But like, I've really enjoyed this 44 or 5 minutes we've had. We kind of said we'd keep them to a half an hour, but when we start rabbiting, Kieran, as you probably have listened to these a few, especially if Mark Landers rejoined us, we'd be back up the hour in no time. Well, great stuff having you, Kieran, and I hope you all stay safe over there in Ballyhale and Clondegad.
Yeah, even the Clare Castle people too, Anthony.
Yeah, you're going to give us that even in these times, are you?
Actually, it was the last game with the Camogie team. We were down in Clare Castle a few weeks ago. We were down in the field playing there, and we hope to be having those games. We've been talking.
How well we can join up in the Camogie, Kieran?
That's another story. That's another 45 minutes at least, Anthony.
Another 45 minute chat. Well, thanks, folks, for listening, and I hope it brightens up a few minutes of your walks or your commute to work. And we look at, first of all, I want to say those people out there on the front line, lads, you're the heroes. We're talking hurling. We didn't even mention how the football championship might be run off. Kieran, you have a few ideas on that. I'm going to ignore those for the time being. But you can imagine the whole chaos there with counties like dual counties like Clare being a great dual county now. And just, I suppose, Colm Collins was so looking forward. We had him as a guest one of the days. I don't know if you heard it. He was superb on the show with us. And what a win they had above in Cavan. And looking forward to Fermanagh when the whole thing was all of a sudden shut down, and the great chance of staying up there. So look, there are all things we'll get to in the next few weeks. And just people to thank Larry again, as always. Larry, thanks a million for facilitating us here. And Squadcast is what we're on at the moment, Larry. You're teaching me so much, Larry, about technology as well, and all the things we can do instead of just talking shite into a microphone below in Assumption Road in Cork on a Monday morning. It might be the way forward. You might suggest to Tony Lean we could sit at home and do this on a Monday morning anymore. But no, we do enjoy the spins home from Cork and all the crack that goes with it, lads, and meeting up with everybody. And I suppose we'd all like to be in contact again, and a cup of coffee in the canteen down there. And hopefully we will be soon. Somebody out there come up with a vaccine, lads, will you? And get us back hurling as soon as we can. And thanks a million for tuning in, folks. And we'll talk to you again next week with the help of God.
Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.